Hello.
Yes, Criv, it's Greg Ross. How are you?
Good, thanks, Greg.
That's good. Are you clear to do the interview?
Yep.
Okay, cool bananas. Welcome to The Last Post, Criv, and thanks very much for joining us. Your amazing documentary right here, which features the go-betweens, I think premiered at the Sydney Film Festival this year, is that correct?
Yes, it premiered there, yes.
Okay. And, mate, I got to say, it's an amazing, one of the best documentaries I've seen, and I've seen a few. What
thanks.
Yeah, no, it's incredible, mate. I imagine it went down very well in Sydney.
Yeah, no, it did. It's been getting a great response, you know, subsequent to that as well, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it must be a great reward for you. I think it has been described, the documentary right here, as a love letter to the go-betweens. Tell us about your connection with the go-betweens.
Well, basically, it's a connection that I guess started, almost over 35 years ago. I was a 17-year-old high school student, going to school in Toowong, and every afternoon I'd walk home via a shopping arcade, and in that shopping arcade was a record store called the Toowong Music Centre. And in that record store were two guys called Grant McLennan and Robert Forster, along with a record store owner, Damien Nelson.
Wow.
And as a schoolboy, I'd just go in there and hang out and shoot with them, talk about music and movies and all sorts of things. And they asked me to come and shoot a short film that Grant had written. And my life changed from that point on.
That's incredible.
And,
incredible.
Yeah. And I've been sort of orbiting, you know, the band's kind of circle since then. You know, I made a film clip for them as well, and in 1988, The Streets of Your Town, and yeah, I've always sort of stayed in touch with various members of the band.
Yes, that's an amazing thing. Record stores, as they used to be back then, were an amazing, almost a communal get-together for a lot of people with similar tastes to Criv, so that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, well, before the internet, before social media, you know, it was vinyl and it was cassettes and it was celluloid. So cinemas and record stores were magical places.
Yes, indeed. Now, Criv, you've had a bit of history with Red Dog, I think, and Red Dog, the follow-up movies. What had you been wanting to do this documentary on the go-betweens for some time?
I've been wanting to make a film, about the band. I sort of had a couple of ideas. I thought I might make a fictional film based on a band like the Go-Betweens,
yep.
And I was always very, enthralled by their music and by their story, it was only a couple of years ago that I started thinking about the documentary again, because we were coming up to the 10th anniversary of Grant's death, and it just felt like it just felt like the right time to finally be able to put the whole story into perspective. And it was a finite story. It really had three acts, you know, and it was complete. It wasn't open-ended.
Mm.
And I felt, you know, it was time for the band to put the band into a proper historic perspective.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the way you've just described that, Criv, is quite brilliant, because, of course, it was waiting to be done in many ways, and you've grabbed the stellar star and you've produced something quite magnificent. So, for fans of the Go-Betweens, my twin brother and I didn't really get into them until 16 Lovers Lane, but they'd been doing a lot before that with a lineup that. What was the classic lineup for you? Did they have a classic lineup?
For me, the classic lineup was when it was Lindy, Robert, and Grant, when there were three pieces. To me, that was the classic one, because that was the one in which the Go-Betweens really became the Go-Betweens. And I think Lindy infused that band with an incredible energy and an incredible drive. And she was really the one that got them out of Brisbane, really. I mean, she was such a force of nature.
Mm.
And she was able to, I think, really give those two young boys a kind of a sense of discipline and a sense of rigour that perhaps they wouldn't have achieved on their own.
Mm.
But I love every lineup. You know, each lineup to me is, that's what I love about the band. Each lineup is unique and creates, you know, it's created such beautiful music. So to me, the band are intriguing, because they always evolved and they always delivered in that evolution.
Yeah, they did, Kriv, and this is one of the attractive things about them, I agree totally. When Robert Vickers joined, I think, and of course, Catlin Kane, but even in the end, before Grant's death, when Robert and Grant reunited without Lindy, they produced some magnificent music.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, no, those last three albums are just as worthy as the ones that came before them. Yeah. And, you know, Adele and Glenn, who joined the band, you know, back like after 2000, again, they enabled Robert and Grant to, you know, really continue what they did, you know, or to pick up from where they left off.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, no, I mean, yeah, that's why I'm saying the band is kind of rich in its history and in its lineage.
Yes, well said.
But Robert and Grant ultimately were also still, you know, they were the sort of engine of the band, or they were the kind of the heart of the band. The point is that I think whether Lindy was there or not, Robert and Grant would have continued regardless. You know, and that was really ultimately the point of their breakup, is that, you know, they were exhausted, they didn't want to continue. But there was always, it always was Robert and Grant, and if Grant had lived, it always was going to be.
Yes, did you see the breakup coming, the initial breakup?
No, I wasn't, no, I didn't, because I wasn't that close to the band, even though I did a film clip for them. You know, I knew that there was a very volatile group of relationships. I definitely knew and saw that.
Yeah, so, you described that well in the movie too.
but like any family, there was, you know, they were functional with their dysfunction. So to me, the breakup was, you know, so much a shock, but it wasn't a surprise either.
Yes, yes, indeed, yeah. And I think in right here, the documentary on the Go-Betweens, Kriv, you've outlined the relationships very, very well. So even a greenhorn like myself, who knew of the band but wasn't too sure about anything else, and I felt the emotion very strongly with, of course, Robert and Grant being, in the end, it came across as they were more important than any other factor of the group.
Well, there was friendship. You know, Robert said, Robert admits in the film that, you know, he was kind of floundering and it was sort of a lost soul, and Grant was the person who gave him direction and purpose. And I think, you know, when you form a friendship like that at a young age, and especially a creative one, one where you collaborate and you create and make this music together, that's hard to shake. You know, it's a hard bond to break. Mm. And really, Grant and together were always greater than the sum of their parts. I mean, I think solo careers are interesting, but together, I think they would also, I think, really admit that together they produced, you know, incredible work. And I think that bond was nothing was going to break that.
Were they a yin and yang character similar to McCartney and Lennon?
Look, I think the Lennon-McCartney comparison's an interesting one because, you know, they did, their songwriting styles were different, you know, but they did complement each other.
Yeah, very much.
And, you know, if you're going to take the analogy further, I guess Forster is the Lennon, and because he wrote the more idiosyncratic and the more angular, the more obtuse songs.
Yep.
And Rob Grant was clearly the tunesmith and the more commercially minded, and the McCartney.
Yeah.
So it's sort of interesting. If you want to go there, the parallel is kind of relatively valid.
Yeah, well said, well said. Friends of mine that watch right here with us said the same thing, and they, of course, picked Grant for being the McCartney of the duo too. With Catlin Kane and some brilliant guitar, the notes that he was able to find in the guitar.
Yeah, and his lyrics and his melodies, especially his melodies, you know, they were very pleasing, you know, to a more commercial ear, I guess.
Yeah, good word to use. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Make Her Day, was that a Grant song?
I think that's a Robert song.
Yeah, it's a beauty.
Robert also is very clever. You know, his songs have got great riffs and great hooks, and, you know, and again, his lyrics are just so unique and so original. I think I think, you know, I used to like Grant's songs more than Roberts, but as I've grown older, I kind of like Roberts more than Grant's now.
Yeah, incredible. I forwarded on Make Her Day to a friend, and I said, just listen to the last 50 seconds of this song. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah, no, it's a great song.
Yeah.
Great song.
They were big in the UK too. I remember being over in the UK at the same time they were. I was aware of them, but not enough to go and see them. And yet they were very big in the UK. Did you have contact with that part of their career?
Well, yeah, you know, the film looks at that, you know, that 80s period when they moved to London. But, you know, they weren't so much big in the UK. They were just very well respected.
Mm.
You know, critically, they were critical darlings. And their music, even though it never sold, it always got really well reviewed.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the real, you know, the music press, you know, prided on claiming that they discovered them.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's what they always struggled with, is this dichotomy between, you know, commercial success and critical success.
What stopped them, do you think, Kriv? What stopped them from being a breakthrough?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, and that's one that can't be answered easily or quickly, because that's what the film tries to sort of unpack. But I think it's a number of I think there are a number of factors. But primarily, I think they're a band that didn't ever compromise themselves. They didn't ever easily fall into a category. And that's both what made them brilliant, but also what I think hindered them. So, you know, everyone loves to package and categorize music, especially in the 80s. You know, it was very much about knowing what label to stick on a band, and therefore knowing who would buy the record.
Countdown and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, but, you know, it was, and it's still, to a degree, that still happens today. You know, everything needs to be sort of comfortably, known. You know, people don't like surprises.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think primarily the band were, I think, too unique and too original. But that's also what made them brilliant.
Oh, yes. So well said. Were they one of Australia's greatest groups?
I definitely think so, yeah. At least one of the most famous, you know, or one of the greatest, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And maybe one of the greatest in the world too, because of their unique songwriting style.
Yeah, well, I think they're one of the great bands, you know, full stop.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of great bands. I mean, there isn't just one great band. There are a lot of great bands.
Yeah.
And the Go-Betweens are, I think, part of that fabric.
Yeah, well said, Kriv. What's next for you? What's happening with you?
I'm just doing some... I'm working on a documentary now with Sam Neill, finishing that off, and doing some television, shooting some Jack Irish, and the new year is still, there might be a film happening, but in my game, you know, nothing's certain until it's certain, and even then it's not certain.
Yeah, very well said. The Sam Neill one, what's that about?
It's a 6-part series for Foxtel, for the History Channel, and it's retracing Captain Cook's 3 journeys, but we're looking at the Pacific as it exists now.
Yeah.
In contrast to what it was like in Cook's time, and we're really looking at the story from both sides of the beach. So we're very much looking at the Indigenous perspective, you know, on Cook.
Yep, well said, needs to be done. So that congratulations on that. Does that tie in anything with, you doing something on Australia Day or?
No, Australia Day was a film I made last year that came out in September.
Okay.
That was a separate film that I did for Foxtel.
Okay, yeah. I'll have to look that up. That sounds interesting. Kriv, from myself, my friends, and I know listeners and readers of The Last Post who appreciate good music, a big thank you for having the energy, finding the energy and resources to put this beautiful, poetic documentary about one of the great bands together, the Go-Betweens. Thank you so very much.
No, thank you. Thanks for the feedback, for the response. I really appreciate it.